Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Radio for Your Mind. And I tell you, I can tell that it's wintry time down here in Florida because although it's beautiful and sunshiny and not a cloud in the sky, I'm not sure the temperature is over 50 either. It is just a little nip in the air. But Jim, how you doing up on the mainland, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. It's definitely not flip-flop weather.
No, let me tell you, I don't own socks, so I'm just trying to find a pair of Tom shoes I can put on that'll keep my feet warm today.
Oh, man. I tell you what, Blake Mankowski has done one phenomenal job over there with that project of his. It really goes to show that when you put your mind to creating something, just exactly how far you can go.
Now, you know, and what amazes me with him, before we get into goal setting, is the fact that he didn't do this under the guise of a non-profit organization or any of that. He saw a need. He realized that they needed to put together a viable product, and he created these shoes. He got people like Bono from U2 and some of these other big-time players out there that supported his desires. Then he went out and launched a company, built that company up, and they were been helping all kinds of people. Then they said, hey, we ought to put together a foundation just so we can do some other stuff. But this is somebody that's making a profit. He's hiring new people. They've got two or three stores now that they've opened that are Tom's Shoe Stores. And every time somebody buys a pair of shoes, he knows what his profit margins are, and they're able to take another pair of shoes, same quality, same everything, and send them overseas to people that need shoes. And I just, man, I tell you, if more people would take the heart like that and realize there's a difference between just gutting people for profits and making a good living and being able to help other people, it's what some of the old-time money did in this country, then, man, everybody's better off that way.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up, Troy, because it reminds me of a conversation I had with a gentleman right here in my local market very recently. Successful business owner has I'm not going to get into the kind of business that it is, because if I do that, then I'm liable to offend somebody.
Sure.
Because what I'm about to say is actually mind-boggling in complete contrast to what you were just talking about. This individual has a successful business that is powered almost 100% by word-of-mouth referral marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a brick-and-mortar business, little shop. The location was actually a location that had belonged to his dad, and everything was paid for. So he's got no overhead except for the cost of the products that they constantly are moving. Okay?
Gotcha.
And in this in this conversation, we're talking about health benefits and all this other stuff, and he tells me, oh man, I can't afford health benefits for my employees. None of my employees have health benefits. Now, he's only got about 4 employees, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But none of his employees have health benefits. Yet he and his wife and family go on a cruise 4 times a year. You know, I'm sorry. That's just pure greed.
Yep.
One of the most fundamental lessons that you and I learned in the military was the leadership skill of, second only to war, your people are your most valuable asset. If you take care of your people, they will follow you into the fires of hell and back.
That's right.
And as long as you have happy people working for you and you're taking good care of them, they will bend over backwards. They will do anything for you. And it's one of the things, I mean, you've talked so much about this. We've both talked about it in terms of the law of connection. And that's just another way of connecting with people. And if people aren't taking the time, and I forgive me for going off on a tangent
fine.
Just, you know, when you brought up the concept of what Blake is doing with Tom's shoes, and it's in such contrast to the greed that I see in some people. You know, the Bernie Madoff incident and everything else, you know, these things like that, they're all based on pure greed. And one of the things about this industry that it creates a double-edged sword type environment is the fact that although the majority of people who stick around and truly become successful do so because they have a servant's heart and they desire to help others, I mean truly help others, the lure of easy money that's associated with this industry is so attractive. It's not even funny. It's the same reason why you can go to any city in the country and find, well, I'll use Enterprise, Alabama as a prime example. No, I won't. I'll use Colorado Springs. Colorado Springs, Colorado has a population of roughly 600,000 people. And they've got approximately 6,000 licensed real estate brokers. Why? Because of the lure of easy money.
Yep.
You know, they people think that they can sell one house and make this huge commission. You know, and I mean, after all, how hard can it be to sell real estate, folks? Come on. I mean, there's no real inventory involved. You got, you know, all the inventory. All you got to do is drive around looking around. You see all these for sale by owner signs. You know, all you have to do is convince these people how much simpler it would be if they were to, you know, entrust you with selling their house as a licensed broker who is licensed and insured and everything. I mean, you know, how hard could it be? But then again, it comes back to the law of connection. Sorry, man. I had to bring that up because greed is such a despicable thing.
And I had a guy comment on my blog last night about a scam that he's in and how he wanted to blame the American government and Wall Street and everything else under the sun for why this company acts the way it does. And I just went off. First of all, I don't even know if he's from this country. If he is from this country, he's about the most unpatriotic person I've ever met because he wanted to call the American people idiots. But when I got done, I explained to him just what you said, greed. And I said, you know what, you can't blame the government on this, and you can't blame Wall Street, because if people on Main Street hadn't thought about the lure of easy money and going out and trying to flip real estate and going out and trying to buy million-dollar homes on $50,000 in annual income, this country wouldn't be in the position that it is today. We caused this ourselves, and as a country, we will pull ourselves out of it. But to try to point a finger at other people all the time and act like there's a different class and how it's the upper class that caused all this. We are one people. We are one nation. We got greedy. We got the lure of easy money. We wanted everything that it looked like everybody else had, and we got ourselves in a little hiccup. And you know what? We're pulling ourselves out of that hiccup, not because the government wanted to give us a bailout or any of that, but because normal, everyday, blue-blooded American patriots said, you know what, we don't need to be unemployed. We'll go out there and get a job. We'll go out there and build our home-based business. We'll go out there and set goals. And if you set goals, the greed usually stays under control because you're focused on something that acts as the guideline for you. It acts as the point, and it allows you to stay on track from getting off on these tangents that people get off on, Jimmy, because you're absolutely right. Every time I see somebody post, whether it's a legitimate company or it's a scam, you can tell the difference between the professionals who understand what it means to be in business for themselves and what the people are out there doing just trying to get that quick buck, that quick cash, that's in their pocket. And I pulled out a book for today's commentary, and it's a new book. Matter of fact, I think the published date on this, it is. It's 2009. It's put out by Obstacles Press, and it's by Chris Brady and Orrin Woodward. It's called Leadership and Liberty, Pieces of the Puzzle. We're going to do some big stuff on this after the first of the year, but this is just a great tidbit book, man. I mean, that isn't what they called it, but it should be, because inside of this, they just have one or two pages of just rock-solid stuff, and this one's called The Power of Goal Setting. And when I looked at this, I thought, man, this is perfect. There's eight quick things I want to run off, and I want us to talk about it, because we got about 19 minutes. But these guys write, and if you don't know who Orrin Woodward and Chris Brady is, you can hit Jimmy's Facebook, you can hit my Facebook, you can go to our blogs. I mean, these are two great leaders in network marketing. And here's what they say. Number one, goals should be realistic but challenging. A goal should be something that you actually believe you can accomplish, but at the same time, it puts a little bit of fear in you, and it causes you to stretch yourself. I thought that was good. Number two, goals should be specific. General goals have no power to inspire whatsoever. Number three, goals should be written down and displayed where you can't forget about them. I thought, man, that's good, because if you don't write it down, man, all of a sudden the greed takes over and you're off and running somewhere else. Number four, goals should be measurable. There is no sense in setting a goal if you have no concrete way of measuring your progress. And you know, it amazes me, because when I see what people write out there and they put all this hypey crap up, they don't have any goals. They have no way of measuring what they're doing. They're just splattering up against the wall hoping it'll fit. Number five, goals should be in line with your overall purpose. And I think that was a good one there. Number six, goals should stand alone. And they write, what they mean by this is that some people set too many goals. They set goals in different areas at different levels. And before long, they're so confused that they fail at all of them. Number seven, goals should be short-term enough to put pressure on you today, because a someday goal will never work and is nothing more than a fantasy. And number eight, goals should have a specific date of accomplishment. And you know what? I believe in that. I believe if you don't set a final date to reach your goal, you're just daydreaming and you might as well stay asleep. You know, but with everything you just said, talking about greed and talking about the lure of easy money and talking about business owners, Jim, that don't realize what they can do to help their employees and take care of their people, goes right along the line of this. Because when we ran ProStep, even though Kevin would gamble $1 million a weekend in Biloxi or Vegas or Reno, he took care of his people up until the last 9-10 months when it was just there was no money left. But everybody, the regular employee, hourly employees, he paid half of their health care and would cover that even if they had pregnancy benefits, which we know automatically raise the cost of insurance. For the salaried employees, he covered all of us 100%. That was just one of our perks that came with that. And it's like he would take care of his people. Every quarter, he had an appreciation day for the employees where all of the hourly employees, we got to vote on who had been that outstanding employee, and even though they got the big bonus of $250 for the quarter, we took the whole day off and we served them. We'd go buy barbecue, we'd go play golf, we would go out on the boats and go fishing. The girls would suntan, the guys would be in the hoopla. We had a blast taking care of our own, and I think that's why we had such longevity with our employees, because even though we worked them hard, they knew that there was a time to play too. And in 12 years, he never missed a Christmas bonus. Even though there was a couple years where we had to wait to pay it until January, everybody always got a Christmas bonus. And that's what it takes to take care of your people. You can't just be greedy. You can't not set goals. You can't do any of that. Because when you do, you might as well just piss it away in the wind. Because eventually it's going to catch up with you. And you're going to die dead, busted, broke, and probably not have six pallbearers. I just love that. Showing up at your funeral.
Well, you're absolutely right. There is absolutely no there's no substitute for a plan. And you know, the concept of writing things down and making them attainable, and you know, there's a couple of things when people think about goals. Number one is a goal needs to be realistic. It needs, number two, it needs to be attainable. Number three, like you said, it needs to be written down, because if it's not written down, then it is just a daydream. Number four is the fact that you have to have a plan for accomplishing that goal. You know, I mean, these are things that I learned eons ago. Strangely enough, they were a byproduct of our sports education that we got as kids growing up when you and I were kids.
Mm-hmm.
I had an interesting conversation last night, and forgive me, but we're going to kind of shift gears here for 1 second, with four young men who are all in their early 20s. Very early 20s. And one of the things that we were talking about is the fact that in our little community here in Enterprise, Alabama, we have a football team where the coach does not cut anyone from the team. There's only 11 players at any one time that can be on the football field during a game.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they have over 120 members of their football team that suit up every Friday evening and travel to these games, you know, whether it's a home game or an away game or anything. And that's such an absurd waste of resources to have all of these people on these buses going to these different places and everything when they're not willing to set up other programs that could benefit other students. They've got everything invested in this one sport. And, you know, I don't believe they're doing a very good job of teaching these kids the value of making a plan, the value of setting goals, because what it means is that everyone who shows up is entitled to put on a uniform. And I know for a fact that back in your day as a young man playing football, in my day as a young man playing football, we started out and there were anywhere from 3 to 5 cuts. And at the end of every, you know, couple of days of practice, you'd go look at the bulletin board just to make sure that your name wasn't on the cut list, and then that you got to come back and, you know, be a part of practice the next day and, you know, hope to make that final group of 30 or 40 kids that were going to be the primary team for the season. Now,
mm-hmm.
they're not doing that anymore, Troy. It's not, you know, as a result of it, these kids are not learning the same kinds of values and importance of, wow, okay, well, I didn't make it this time, you know, so I need to go devote some time and energy on my own to hone my skills and get better if this is something that I really want to do. And if I don't really want to do it, well, then that's fine too. I need to focus my energies on something else. But the key in that whole process is focus my energies on improving. And you can only do that with some kind of a goal, with some kind of a plan in order to move forward.
Well, it's the plan that does it. And that's what cracks me up is how many people, Jim, don't have a plan. They sit here at the beginning of the year, and they write down or they think in their mind about a resolution, or some girl realizes that she doesn't like them because they're overweight, or some girl sees a guy looking at her but realizes she's about 35 pounds overweight, and they think about making a weight change or a resolution or spending more time with their family or whatever. But the problem is they think about it for that 1 second when the emotion's high. They never write it down. They never get a plan. They never put down a daily action step. All they have to do is, I got to do this today. And then at the end of the year, they wonder, why haven't I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. And that's sad. But you know what? The majority of people go through life that way. If we fought wars the way people write down their goals, this country would be speaking a different language, and we'd sure the heck not have the rights that we have in loving and caring and speaking our opinions on the air.
You're absolutely correct. You are absolutely correct, man.
It's just crazy. Jimmy, I'm sitting here listening. As you were talking, I flipped over to Facebook. Listen to this. This right here is what we're talking about. I wrote up today, I put a question to all. What would you accomplish in your life if you found out you had just 30 days left to live? Here's the first comment under that post. If I had 30 days left, I would join TVI Express. Here's the second post. Simple. To love and be loved. Now, there's two different people with two different focuses in life, and the second person I happen to know her passion, writing down goals, being organized, is second to none. But I'm sitting here looking at this, and it just proves a point on where we're at right now. There are people that have goals, they have purpose, they have focus in their life. And then there's people that are so inward focused, so greedy, so, I can't say that on the radio. They're just evil people because they don't care about anybody but themselves. And that's why you gotta have a goal, man.
My question to you is, have you deleted the person that put the comment, you know, about TVI Express as a friend yet?
No, what I'm going to do is I'm writing back, and it's going to basically say, well, it's easy to see that TVI is a selfish person who doesn't care about helping others or leaving a legacy, and I sure hope you get six people to show up to your funeral as your pallbearers. I just love that. I'm going to overuse it for the rest of the year.
Well, that would be six people that didn't feel like they'd been raped to show up at your funeral.
I got to figure out how to put, you know, I hope your six TVI friends are not off scamming people and show up at your funeral. That's what I need to put. It just blows my mind. Blows my, Jimmy, this is what we're talking about. And people wonder why they fail. And the sad thing is, I've come to this conclusion, right or wrong, I don't care. This is my conclusion. People that join scams, there are two different kinds. There are those that understand it's a scam, and they're going to rape the people for as much as they can get out of them. And then there's those that just don't have a clue, and they're following some leader. And I look at this the same way I do these snot-nosed, spitty, sweaty televangelists that I see on late-night TV. They want to go out there and rape people of their hard-earned cash. And you know the ones I'm talking about. I mean, there's a big difference between the Joel Osteens and the ones that I'm talking about out here. And they go out there, and all they care about is money, money, money. Hand me money, I'll send you an oil rag. Hand me money, and your life will change. Give me, give me, give me. Why these people are down to their last buck. They're looking for something they can cling to, and these people that know the truth but don't care are out there. And this is sad, because I think if the good-hearted people that join most of these scams would just sit down with somebody for 5 minutes and put a plan of action together, write down some goals they want to accomplish in 30, 60, 90 days, that very quickly they would find their life start to turn around, and little by little they'd pull themselves out of that hole, and they wouldn't have to go after the pie in the sky, the lottery tickets, or whatever else they want to do, thinking this is my last shot. And I remember something that Kevin told me once. He said, Troy, when I go to Vegas and I don't need to win, I always win. But when I go to gamble knowing I need to come home with $600,000 in my pocket or I'm going to have to sell another car, I always lose.
Well, simple, Troy. That's because of the age-old analogy. I mean, this is a lesson that goes back, oh, man, you know, I mean, what's his name? Kenny Rogers wrote a song about it. I mean, there have been so many different messages that have come down over the years about this very subject. Scared money can't win. And you know, you can look at that from the sense that literally anything that we do in life and I believe this is true whether you have to make a sale to fill a quota, or, I mean, there's so many different analogies that you can make around this one topic. It's not even funny, Troy, because any time you're giving off the, I mean, let's look at it in terms of our own business and home-based business industry. If you need one more person to make the bonus for the month or something, and you just, I mean, you need that money, you're not going to get that one more deal, I promise you, because you're going to project an image of desperation. If you do it from the heart with a carefree attitude, you'll make it. And, mm-hmm. and if what's more, you'll make more than just one. But if you have the need, I mean, you got to do this, or somebody's going to turn your electricity off or something, man. That internal desperation sends off such a negative signal in the universe that it repels people. It repels luck. It repels fate. It repels everything. Because it's just such a negative energy of need. Because the need is totally self-serving. If the need was revolving around, you know, the power to help someone else, then maybe things would be different. You know, I heard someone say one time, the most powerful prayer you can ever ask for is the only true prayer there is, because it's a prayer given on behalf of someone else. You see, when we pray for things to happen for us and to us, it's nowhere near as powerful as when we ask for things for someone else, because it's truly then that we're serving others, that our prayers may be answered.
You know, you hit something right there, and it reminds me of a story I saw this morning of a Salvation Army major in Little Rock that was gunned down over the holidays in front of his three kids. And it was because of three nasty people that just wanted to steal money that didn't belong to them, sure didn't belong to him, but they didn't even ask him for the money. They just shot him. And as his wife, who is also a major in the Salvation Army, made her first, I guess, public appearance this morning, she said, in memory of what my husband meant to my family and what he meant to this community, she goes, I vow to carry on his mission of helping people in this community, of raising funds for the homeless, of raising funds for children and women and men who don't have enough clothes and don't have anybody for the holidays. She didn't bring up, you know, I'm going to go out and castrate these guys or shoot them or anything. She carried on the legacy that this man, who seems totally loved in the community, is carrying on. And what you just said spurred me to think about that, because it is what we do for others. It is that selfless act of helping others grow, of helping others learn, of helping others set goals. It's that selfless act of being, I don't know, bold in our statements, of sharing with people what companies or what issues might be right or wrong and why. Even though we know people will take pot shots at us, even though, you know, we could be wrong in the long run and a company or a person could change their ways. It's those type of people that are saying, you know what, I at least got to get the info out, because if I get the info out, maybe that company will change. Maybe they won't lead people down the wrong path. Maybe they'll wake up and realize there's a difference. And folks, if you're on this call and you're not setting a plan, you're not setting a goal, if you're a leader on this call and you're not out there taking time to do what Chris and Oren did, write a book and share your insights with others. I don't care what it is. If you're not doing something to change other people's lives, then I would have to say you're living a pretty empty life. You're missing out on some of the greatest enjoyments that I know you can have, whether it's Tom Chenault, Jim Gilhouse, myself, Sandy Cohen. I mean, the list goes on and on of people who have given selflessly and helped others. I just saw a thing, and we'll probably go over, Jimmy, but Glenn Sparks took time. He was over in Cambodia giving out gifts with Zango over the Christmas season. And the pictures that he shared of the love and the time of going out and helping others that are underprivileged because they live in a country that just doesn't have any money. Man, you could see the smile on his face. You could tell he was doing something that was in his heart. He could have been back in front of the fireplace with all of his kids and his beautiful wife, and instead, they were over there helping people in an area that is so impoverished, it's pathetic. And so I got to agree wholeheartedly, buddy, with you on what you just said, and that put me on that tirade. But I just love to see other people helping people.
It's truly the power that transforms the universe, man, is the ability to help others. And Zig Ziglar said it best many, many years ago when he said that if you help enough other people to achieve what they want in life, rather to get what they want in life, then you too can have anything in life that you desire. And it's through the art of helping others to get what they want that we ultimately are able to get what we want, because people are naturally, my faith in humanity is waning to some degree, because I used to believe that human beings are genuinely good-natured and very giving, but here lately, sometimes I have to wonder if they aren't just sheep.
I think more so than they need to be. More so than they need to be, and the problem is there's a wolf right around the corner just waiting to lure them to that road for easy money, man. That's the name.
One of those wolves are named TVI, aren't they?
Oh, big time. That's what cracks me up, man. It's like very humorous. Very, very humorous, man, that a person would... I appreciate his boldness, but he's so stupid. You know, I can't think of another word. Sometimes I'll tell my kids you're being unresourceful. This guy's just being flat-out ignorant, man. I mean, putting that up, and oh, some people, that's better to keep your mouth shut instead of letting people know just how stupid you really are. So, hey, with that, folks, we are going to be back here tomorrow. You can tell we are unplugged and on a roll. This is the way the week's going to be. We're going to be sharing some more about building the plan and setting the goals. And listen, if you think we're shoving this down your throat, you are absolutely correct. Because the one thing that we have both learned, whether it's in military, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's just in raising kids or going out and having a personal business, if you don't set the plan, if you don't have a goal, if you don't have those objectives in place, you will fail unconditionally. We've seen it happen over and over and over again. So be with us tomorrow morning, Wednesday, Radio for Your Mind. Have a fantastic day.
God bless everybody. Have a great day.